Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue to press on, and we are in the 40th Psalm now. The 40th Psalm. It has a title to it, a title we've seen several times in the Psalms. It says, To the Choir Master, a Psalm of David. And so again, the King James says, To the Chief Musician, or as the Lexham says, For the Director, For the Music Director. And this is the Psalm of David. David penned the psalm. He would give it to the music director to use. Verse 1 says this, and this, there's several verses, I believe, in this psalm that you'll find familiar. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. So we've seen this several times in the psalms where David is crying out to the Lord. Sometimes he's waiting patiently. Sometimes he's waiting, perhaps with a degree of impatience, you know, because he'll say things like, Lord, how long? How long until you move? How long until you do something? But he's declaring that I waited patiently for the Lord. And notice it's in the past tense. I waited patiently for the Lord. We can actually look at things in our lives and see where we were being patient with the Lord, though we did not know it, right? And he said, the Lord inclined to me. And inclined, what does that mean? You know, well, we know it means certain things in certain languages. In our language, we interpret it a particular kind of way. It basically means that he extended, he spread out, he bowed down, he turned to. In other words, he extended himself to me and heard my cry. He stretched himself out to me and heard my cry. Well, I wonder what was going on. Well, verse 2 tells us exactly what was going on. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Yeah, well, both these first two verses right here, most of us probably know a couple of worship songs that go along with these things, right? In other words, they use these as lyrics. Yeah. So the Lord brought him up out of a pit, and it was a pit of destruction. As a couple of them translate, King James says horrible pit. The Lexham says a roaring pit, a roaring pit. The Lord brought him out of this horrific situation, whatever it may be. And it was out of the miry clay, out of the bog. He was bogged down. Something was wrong. He was going to be destroyed. But the Lord pulled him up out of that, set his feet upon a rock, and made his footsteps secure or firm or steady. Verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So David's saying, out of this thing, out of what happened to me, the Lord put a new song in my heart. Folks, that is what should be happening with us, really, day in and day out. Remember what the scripture says, the steadfast love of the Lord is never ceasing, never failing. It's new every morning. There's a newness every morning at the rising of the day, a new thing that the Lord wants to do in and through each one of us. Here he put a new song in the mouth of David. I wondered if this is actually a psalm right here, which it could be. But he tells us it's a song of praise to our God. So David said he's put a new song in my mouth, but it's a song of praise to our God. So he's speaking here and drawing the congregation into this. But what is meant by this? Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Well, is he speaking about what had happened and what God had brought him through, pulling him up out of the pit of destruction, that people see this and see that God has rescued him, and now they fear, and they turn, and they trust in the Lord? I would say, yeah, that could definitely be it, okay? Is it also the thing that with this new song, that people are seeing what the Lord is doing outside of just David and his current situation, but they're seeing the works of the in the hand of the Lord. They see it, and they fear the Lord. They fear the Lord rather than the situation or circumstance. And out of that, they put their trust in the Lord. I would say, yes, that's also true. Okay. So the bottom line is that people see what is happening. They saw what was happening in the life of David. They see the move of the hand of God, which really begs the question in our lives, what do people see out of our lives? Whether we're going through a good time or a difficult time, whatever it is, what do they see? And it's what they are seeing, is it leading people to the fear of the Lord? Now, you know what I mean by fear of the Lord. Okay, I'm not talking about the fear of mankind or fear of the flesh, but is it leading them to the Lord to where they will do what it says, to trust in the Lord, to trust in Yahweh? So David continues, verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. So who is the blessed man? The one who makes the Lord his trust. Now, Psalms 40 right here, and Psalms 41, are the end of what's called the first book of the Psalms. The Psalms are actually divided into five separate books. And book one actually starts off with the first psalm, speaking of the blessed man. And now it's ending with these last two psalms in the book with the blessed man. Who is the blessed man? He's the one who made the Lord his trust, who trusts in the Lord. But it's not only trusting in the Lord, he makes the Lord, makes Yahweh his trust. We all trust in something, folks. Okay? We trust in something. Our days are filled with little trust. We trust the chair is going to hold us when we sit down in it, things we don't even think about. But here, this blessed man makes the Lord his trust. It's a decision. It's an active decision to decide that the Lord is going to be the source of your trust. It's not that I whip up the power and the volition to trust the Lord of myself and then trust him. No, he makes the Lord his trust. I'm going to trust in the Lord whether I feel like it or not, whether I understand it or not. And I'm not going to be like those who are proud, okay? Those who are proud who go astray after a lie. We are in such days, folks, you are not going to believe. As a matter of fact, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you've already been experiencing this for several years, okay? For several years, that there is so much that is just overt lie. Overt lie. Things that we have been taught to be truth are lie. And now what we're experiencing, particularly within the body of Christ, is a huge degree of what the world calls cognitive dissonance. Is you're seeing the truth and you're being told the truth and having the truth explained to you, but your brain just refuses to accept it. And it's not so much a physiological thing as it is what we're seeing right here. Who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. It's pride. It's pride that keeps us from acknowledging the truth and seeing the truth. Yeah, I know you've been taught something since you were 2 years old. Seriously, I was taught the same thing. Since you were 2 years old, you were taught something. And now you're being confronted with the truth that perhaps that is not the truth. Perhaps you've been lied to. And you say, well, how can somebody lie to us at a worldwide level? To which I would go, really now? Really? Have you ever heard of Satan, the great deceiver, the great liar? Just think how lies are done today. 50 years ago, a politician would lie, no doubt, but you had a hard time discerning it. Now they're just overt lies of such in such a way that it's like they dare you to confront them and to say that this is a lie. I mean, it's that level. And the blessed man is the one who says, I'm going to make the Lord my trust, and I'm not going to turn this way, and I'm not going to go astray after a lie. If I find out I've been lied to, I'm going to learn the truth, and I'm not going to be proud, and I'm going to walk in the truth. Folks, there are things coming that you're not going to believe. Well, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time. I'll see you soon. Goodbye.